Just make sure he's working.
Am I close enough, or do I need to sit up and eat the mic?
I think you need to get pretty close.
Need to know where.
Where in check, the check, where I check. Check, check, check. Is that coming through? Coming through, Mike?
Yes, that was. Can I just get the mic?
Yep, hello. Hello, how are we doing today?
If you want to, you could also take it out of that stand and just hold it if you wanted to. Or
can I?
Yeah. I'm not sure how I might do it.
Is this better? You get better sound for me? Okay, great.
Check, okay. Check. You got me, Mike?
Get the nonsense out of the way now. We'll be much better off as this progresses. Yeah, we'll edit it out. No problem.
Trev, let me get yours. What's up? Yeah. I'm coming through here?
Yes,
you are. Okay. Don't know why we can't hear it on the speaker.
It's got that radio voice, you know.
Yeah. Are you ready? Okay. Welcome to JCI Podcast. We're here with Michael Kogan, CEO of Definition 6.
Absolutely. I was a traditional advertising, marketing guy, travel and tourism, packaged goods, restaurant here in Georgia. Went from there to management consultancy during re-engineering the corporation era. So everything was about business process, re-engineering. And as I was doing that work, the internet started to emerge as a commercial viability and decided to combine the disciplines of marketing and business process consulting into an internet consulting firm. I've been in business 10 years, so 10 years, June 19th, so we're very, very excited about that in 2007. And we've evolved into sort of a leading interactive marketing e-commerce company. About more than half of Georgia's Fortune 500 corporations use us for their work, so we're very pleased with that number. And we recently announced that we've done over $10 billion in revenue for our customers in our 10 years of operations, so we've had a pretty good run of it.
Wait, explain that exactly. You've been paid $10 billion, or?
If I was paid $10 billion, I don't think I'd be doing a doing any work right now. No, we have generated $10 billion in revenue for our customers. So our customer sales, we've impacted about $10 billion worth of revenue on their behalf. And we typically talk in terms of what we've done for our customers more than what we've done for ourselves. So the things we're most proud of are the awards acknowledging doing something in a client's category, a pharmaceutical or home building, versus website design or interactive marketing. Those are self-congratulatory awards, and we're less interested in those and more interested in our clients' outcomes.
Excellent. So in the 10 years, I'm sure you've had many different experiences, growth, maybe some bad times, good times. Where are you now? Where do you see your company, and what's the... what's kind of on the, in the near future coming up?
We're in the middle of the ring fighting with our hands up. You know, where are we now? And I say that tongue in cheek. It is always a battle as a business, you know, be it foreign competition, local competition, talent wars, technical changes, media shifts. I mean, we are in a very fluid business market as far as the category we chose. We are not a search engine only company or an email only company or a website design only company or a catalog processing company or a hosting company. We're all that and more. So we deal with competition on a daily, hourly basis in all directions. Where we see ourselves as one of the most technically sophisticated interactive marketing and e-commerce companies in the Southeast. So if you want a pretty website, we can get that for you. But if you want a pretty website that then produces sales, we're one of the few people that really will take ownership from driving traffic to the site, the user experience at the site level, and then the conversion and the ongoing maintenance and enhancement of the business system. And that's pretty special, if you will. There's some other national firms that do it, but we feel we're very strong, and that's very different than what we see in other places. Where we continue to evolve towards is the convergence of media that's going on right now. I'm still watching TV and working on a computer, but those days are waning quite a bit. You know, with Slingbox, it's really gotten interesting. If I'm ever really watching TV or working on my computer as an independent moment, it's more of the delivery device in which I view shows. And that's not really media convergence as much as the delivery of one media over a different medium. So we're seeing that being a big evolution right now, which is really changing the definition of medium and message is really getting mixed right now. And in, you know, my cell phone is a pretty powerful device right now. I can definitely do a long weekend with nothing more than my my phone, and that's very different than, you know, 5 years ago.
You've been quite involved within the community in the past. What current involvements are you doing right now?
Well, I continue to be a board member of the Atlanta Jewish Federation. I'm an immediate past chairman of an executive position at the Metro Chamber of Commerce here in Atlanta, a small to mid-sized business council. Always a fun title to be immediate past chair. That's a great job. I'm a member of Downtown Atlanta Rotary. I'm very involved with APAC on a national level. And I spend a fair amount of time with AMO, which is the Atlanta Interactive Marketing Association, a lot of time in TechLinks, which is a technical community here in town, TAG. So I stay pretty involved. I'm not as spread thin as I once was. And part of that is because my management team has now taken up leadership positions and other nonprofits that I used to be involved in, as well as associations like AEA, AMA, and the like. So we believe in community engagement.
Okay, great. One thing I would like you to expand upon is the Small to Mid-Sized Business Council at the Chamber, something I'm involved in, which you know. And really, you've been instrumental in kind of the recent growth and a kind of change of direction. I just kind of want to get a little more feedback from you on how that came about, what you saw, and where you see that going in the future.
I mean, I lost a coin toss. That's how it started. I had been selected for the Small Business Person of the Year for 2004 from the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce. And I was asked by the then chair, would I help with the campaign for the chamber? And I said, of course I would. You know, love to. And one of the things you kind of always know in community service, once you run a campaign, you end up chairing the group sometime in the future. It's sort of a rite of passage type of event. So was then asked to take over and chair the Small Business Council at the time. And one of the first things we did is we renamed it the Small to Mid-Sized Business Council, because a business that's 80 people, 20 million, doesn't necessarily consider themselves a small business, and they certainly know they're not a mega corporation, so they're looking for a place that a mid-sized business could go and network with its peers and have sort of a sense of belonging. So that was one of our first steps. Second thing we did is we started to add structure to how membership on the council worked and how we delineated out programming, be it the resources we provided or the events we had at the chamber or what co-op events we would do with other associations. As that evolution happened, the chamber brought on professional staff to orchestrate all the activities that the council had put together and ultimately have been able to come up with programming tracks for every facet of a small business owner's life, from finance, executive coaching with the CEO, action committees to activities for the sales and marketing professionals, lead share programs, lunch and learns, brown bag lunches, breakfast meetings. It's a very dynamic organization, and my, I guess, thing I enjoy the most is to see a chamber event for the Small to Mid-Sized Business Council 3 or 4 times a week, every week. It's a really dynamic group, and I wish Helene and you great luck, because immediate past chair, I do not make every event anymore.
Certainly understandable. And you mentioned in there the Small Business Person of the Year award that you won in 2004, and that's coming up again here.
Yes.
Less than a month away. I just wanted to kind of get a little more feedback on how that process went for you and, you know, how beneficial it was once you were selected and what that's meant to you.
Well, I won, so it went perfectly. I mean, it was absolutely perfect. The judges did a fantastic job. The chamber ran it excellently. It was really a perfect, I couldn't have imagined a better execution. So I thought they did a great job. And in all seriousness, having been on the other side and part of the selection committee, chairing the selection process, the Chamber and the Business Chronicle do a great job of making that event happen. As a recipient, it was really cool. I mean, I guess that's a pretty unpolished way of saying thanks. You know, Mom was proud, Dad was amazed, and all my friends didn't believe it. You know, that kind of event. I think the thing that was the most interesting about it was when you're on the dais, when there's the five finalists, you look around and say, "My God, who's it going to be?" Because I know it won't be me. Because you listen to what everybody does. And I've heard this from every single person who was a finalist or a winner. Everybody's just sort of amazed to be on the list. And to me, what's so, I guess, engaging about that is year after year, there's 30, 40, 50 companies that could all be finalists. You know, and that's an amazing number of churn because it's not the same companies every year. And so that's an amazing part of the Atlanta fabric is how much job growth comes from the mid-market, from the small business, how many new enterprises are started every year. So it was kind of cool. I mean, I'm really honored to be with the group of people who've won, but feel very fortunate to have been part of helping shape for at least a few years the finalists and winners and being part of that process. It was a great experience.
Speaking of job growth, I noticed that Georgia Trend named Definition 6 the 2006 best place to work in Georgia. What are some of the workplace policies that you and Definition 6 have implemented to get to this point?
Sure. Georgia Trend, we were one of, so just get good record. We were one of the best places to work. So, you know, God, that what policies? It's not so much policies.
What's the attitude that Definition 6 carries?
I would say that the employees that are here love being here. And the employees that are not maybe don't miss us. Because we have a very real culture. And some people find it very hard to integrate in. Some people find it very hard for them to apply their unique set of skills to this business. We know that. We accept that. But those people that are here 2 years tend to be here 6 years. A lot of people don't make it 6 months. So I guess part of our policy, if you will, or it's not codified, is have the right people be here for a long time and have the wrong people not be here as rapidly as we both know it's wrong. And that's different. We're a small entrepreneurial company. We could be 500 people, and I'll still refer to us as a small entrepreneurial company. So if you show up looking for a training program, if you show up looking for somebody to show you how to do everything for 6 months before your first live assignment and 2 years before you're asked to take on a leadership role, we're the wrong place for you. And so we know that, and we hope our employees know that, and we hope our candidates know that. And I think those are part of things that make it a good place to work. I think it helps that we let dogs in the office, to tell you the truth. I think people like the fact that there's dogs, I think.
Yeah, that was a first.
Yeah, you know, I think people like that. I think people like the fact that we will put in the lobby to settle a debate sometimes. I mean, I think there's still an internet startup mentality that does exist within the organization. No, you will find a foosball table.
Okay.
You'll also find a slotless auto track racing set, the one that goes up the wall. You got to have slots for that part, but the rest of it's slotless. So you will find those type of things. You'll find Nerf guns. You will find we don't play indoor lacrosse anymore. We used to do that. That was a long time ago. We used to do rollerblading and roller hockey in the parking lot. So it is a bit of a frat house mentality. And by that, I mean, we do try to play together, and we try to play sort of light level competition stuff. And you know, it's not a starch suit type of environment. And so I think people do appreciate that. When you're here a long time, you can truly notice what you've done to the community. When you're here a very short time, I said, there's a lot of short-timers that it just didn't work out. And that's that, you know.
It kind of reminds me of, I mean, Mike and I were recently talking about the good and great.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of seems like it's a case of that, where it's those employees or prospective employees, the great ones really stick on. And then the good ones, within this system that you have, they just kind of go their own way.
I like go their own way. That's a good way to say that. You're either a high performer here or you are better served elsewhere. I will agree with that.
Good. Now, finishing up, what piece of advice can you give the young leaders and entrepreneurs listening around the world that you may have wished that someone had given you when you started your company 10 years ago?
Don't take it personally. The business becomes such a manifestation of self. When somebody criticizes your company, which people will do all the time, when a customer chooses not to work with you any longer, which will happen from time to time, or a prospect chooses another competitor, they are not calling your self-identity into question. And that is a very hard daily lesson to remember. That's something nobody really told me. So that was that's one that causes a lot of personal angst. The other is make money early. Like, get into the habit of making money early versus constantly communicating to yourself and others, we'll make it someday, but we're putting in the right foundation. It's easier to continue to make money if you learn how to make it early versus learning how to make money late. And I would grow up in the internet era. It was make money late. It takes a lot of effort to get people to think about making money if their first inclination is not about profit. It's about some other metric. So I would focus on making money early, day one. And that may sound simple, but a lot of times I see people self-talk into why it's okay that we haven't made any money yet. So,
well, number one reason of small businesses going out of business is cash flow. So it seems, great advice. That's great advice.
It is cash flow, but I mean, it's cash flow to even a deeper level, because a lot of times the cash flows, they don't have good collection processes, they don't have good billing processes, they got good core fundamental business, they have poor administration of it. I would say it's even a little more root cause than just the cash flow analysis. What they do, they don't do profitably.
Right.
But they don't know it yet. And they hide it under, we're just starting and learning. And so, yeah, cash is king, but making a profit, because you can fix your cash flow problem by bringing in a good outside professional to help you get that part right. But if there's no cash flow to be made, if there's nothing to be discovered,
right,
it doesn't really matter how good your finance partner is, you're in trouble. And so I would peel that back a little bit harder and say, are we really making money and we're not collecting it fast enough? Or are we not really making money and we just thought we weren't collecting fast enough, particularly in the early days? Because you get some upfront deposits, you get some early orders, you get some early wins. That gets you through a little bit, and then all of a sudden, geez, how do you make money at this? Becomes a thing.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
This has been very helpful. Once again, Michael Kogan, CEO of Definition 6. I'm Mike DiLonardo with JCI Atlanta.
And I'm Trevor McCandless.
And thank you for listening to Podcast JCI.